Hey, Fidelity, how can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You guys know Sierra got married last year. It's a lot of work.
Oh boy, was it.
It's a lot to do. And one thing that really helped her figure out what to do first, where to access certain resources, how to get people to know where they were supposed to go for a wedding, Zola.
With Zola, you can discover venues and find vendors easily. You can message and book vendors right on their website. And truly, when I say that that was the first part that we had to do and also one of the most intimidating and hardest, it's so nice to just have them all listed right there and be able to talk to them right there and then.
They also have free planning tools, which is really helpful because you don't know what you don't know. And if when you go to Zola, you have a guest list manager, wedding website templates, a budgeting tool, because dang, can a wedding get out of hand real quick.
Mm-hmm.
It could all eliminate so much stress and you'll save so much time, all because it's like a one-stop shop.
That's so true. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable.
There's even a five-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch.
Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Hey guys.
I'm Jerry.
I'm Sierra.
We're ladies.
And we tangent.
Just flip myself off.
Fuck you. Self. Fuck you, myself.
Go and fuck yourself.
I thought this morning that because he got out of bed with the baby and like took her out to get her a milk before I woke up.
Her milka.
Literally, she sounds, by the way,
I know exactly what you're going to say. To comment about Sweden and Switzerland?
I thought it was the same place.
Whenever they were like, oh, okay. Well, when you said Swedish,
they're like, just so you know, Sweden and Switzerland are different places. And everybody, we have a running joke that people think they're the same place. And I'm like, I honestly did.
Fell into that trap.
Yep. But anyway.
We have different languages, probably.
Yeah.
It's Swedish.
Swedish, for sure.
Is definitely a language in Sweden. And then in Switzerland,
they speak Switzer.
Swiss? Or is it like Dutch? Danish?
Danish, maybe.
Yeah, because there's not a Daneland. Daneland.
Oh! Right, anyways.
Right?
No, I don't think so. This is an ADHD podcast for ADHD people. So what I was going to say was this morning I hear, like, loud. And I was like, is Corey
cheeks
out there
clapping?
Just clapping loudly? And for what? Because it was, like, staccatoed.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you clapping? And then nobody else is making any noise. Anyways, I went out there and I realized that the baby had found some bubble wrap and was stepping on it and
oh,
it was popping.
I love that.
Yeah, but it sounded just like claps. And I was like, what the fuck is going on out here? And just picturing my husband out there just loudly clapping for no reason was really funny.
Here, so, snipey, snipey, snipe.
Snipe.
You've not watched Up in a while.
That's what he does. I've never seen Up.
Really?
Really. And it's almost now become one of those things that I can say to people that they have that reaction, just like I've never seen Home Alone. Really, literally.
I started Home Alone with my kids the other day and realized that that was a mistake.
Uh-oh, why?
Because that movie did not age well as far as like appropriateness level for kids.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes. Everything. I was like, oh, don't say that. Oh, yep. Yeah, that guy's not being very nice. Oh, that's okay. All right. Well, I think maybe we turn this off.
Yeah. I've never seen that movie until like 2 years ago. I'd never seen The Nightmare Before Christmas. Then I watched it. Turns out I fucking love it. Now it's a Halloween and Christmas classic. I watch it for both. But That's just one of those.
I'm shocked that you didn't watch Up.
I should, but it's like I said. Now
I feel
it's
like it would have
been so
been
long.
Like a Noah favorite.
I think he's seen it.
Oh,
just not me.
Yeah,
he's got other family.
He does.
Forge. Anyways,
well, what's up, everyone? Hello.
Hi, everyone. Oh, my God.
Why? Oh, your mic came to give you a hug. It's like, somebody lonely.
Sorry. Thank you for that. I needed it. Don't punch me in the mouth. Speaking of.
Punching you in the mouth?
Yeah.
Hoovering. Oh, my gosh. Sorry. My lips are so freaking chapped. Okay. I just keep peeling them like a snake.
Yeah. Do it.
Peeling like a snake.
Shed your skin on this couch.
I know. I'm like, what do I do with my skin now? Just yeah.
Flick it off into the sunset.
Mm-hmm.
My sweet, sweet daughter is so cute. And so anytime that she wants, I don't know, she would just come up to me and I go kisses. And then I go, mm-hmm. and I get in her little cheek and mm-hmm. neck crevice and she giggles and she loves it. So now she'll come up to me and she'll go kisses and she wants me to do it. Well, now she wants me to also give kisses to all of her toys. She has a little doll that she plays with. She named her Mimi. And so she comes up and she goes, kisses, Mimi. And so aww. I have to give Mimi kisses and then she'll bring her blocks to me. I have to give the blocks kisses.
Where are we getting to a punching?
Because now if I don't respond immediately with kisses because I'm not paying attention.
You get beat?
Mimi is a little hard plastic. They're called like little peoples or something
Yes. Yeah. I have the NSYNC ones.
Yes. And she came up right... said kisses. I didn't hear her, so I wasn't paying like attention to her over here. Mm-hmm. I think I was talking to Corey, and she swings her arm around and goes kisses, and just like smacks me so hard in the mouth with Mimi. Yeah. And I was like, oh my god! And then she was like, thank you.
You gonna kiss Mimi or Mimi's gonna kiss you? Okay, that's what I know.
I was like, we have to be gentle when we do kisses.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So, anyways, that's
no
what
chill.
Me of. No, she's normally not like that either, but she's getting very into like, hey, if I have to ask again, I won't be as nice.
Well, I think they go for so long being like, no one can understand me.
Yeah, and then it's.
I feel like I'm effectively communicating, and no one is getting it. And then they get to a point where they are communicating mm-hmm. somewhat effectively. Mm-hmm. And then if stuff doesn't immediately happen, they're like, "What the fuck did I learn how to speak for? Hmm? What did I learn how to walk for?
Now I have to use my fists."
Yeah,
you made me do this,
and that is
she's abusive.
I was going to tell you something disgusting happened today.
God.
This is not the that's disgusting episode, but I have one. Okay. And since everyone was like, everything you gave was a poop story, even though you asked not for poop stories.
Then we didn't say no poop stories. We just said we know we already have asked for those before. We want those in addition to.
And the one that I have from LA is not a poop story. And this one I'm about to share right now is not a poop story. Okay. It is an ingrown hair story, okay? So. I am downstairs getting ready today, and you guys know I cut my hair. I accidentally gave myself the Rachel, okay?
Yeah, you did. I like it.
I don't. Okay. I feel like an old woman.
Okay.
A bit. I don't mind my hair how it is right now. Like, if I pull it back, I don't care. But, like, when it's down and, like, freaking... Yeah, it's yeah. just... It's giving the Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
But not in the time of when the Rachel was mm-hmm. at its peak.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I even said to Shane today, I was like, because he came downstairs while I was getting ready. And I was like, I gave myself the Rachel and I hate it. And I feel like I look like an old woman. And I even tried to like make my nipples come out and like see if that helped me like it better. And it didn't. And so while I'm having this pity party, he says, okay, can you look at this thing on my head? And so I look. Now, my husband is bald. You guys know, Daddy Shane, bald, yeah. Shaves his head.
Yeah.
So many opportunities for ingrowns.
Ugh.
So I look and it's lifted. It's like raised. There's no head on it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, but it's definitely angry. And it's an ingrown hair, I'm sure. But I can't tell how many and I can't tell which hair. And he's like, it fucking hurts. And I said, do you want me to see if I can like get something out of it, relieve some pressure? And he's like, yeah. I squeeze this thing and the velocity that it comes out shoots at me. I scream. And then I go in the mirror.
No.
And in my Rachel
no.
coiffed bangs is his fucking zit. The pus from his zit, his ingrown hair, is in my bangs.
See, mine was just a little guy, and it was just right by his nose, but in your hairs.
It shot so fast, it just stuck in my bangs. And I go, you have got to be fucking kidding me. And Shane's like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm like, you didn't do anything.
Yeah,
like,
it's not your fault.
And then I almost threw up because I was like, my mouth was open. Oh my God. What if
oh, I'm gonna puke.
It was fucking foul. And then I was like, let me see if something else would come out. But then I like went to the side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, Corey's like, I'm not making that mistake two times.
That's exactly right. But
not
again.
He popped it like three times. There was like three different ones. Because I get them, they're like cystic ones on my back right around my period, which is what should be happening right now. I don't have one, but I have the migraine. I have all the telltale signs that's what my body is doing. And so I warned him, like, those ones will look like it's not going to be a lot. It looks like it's a lot, but it looks like it's all under the skin.
It's coming from below. It's very...
It's a volcanic eruption in my
skin.
What are those things?
It's like the steam holes.
That's just like... Steam holes?
I don't think they're called steam holes.
You don't? Geyser?
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes, you are. Yes, sweet. You are. Steam hole definitely wasn't it. Geyser, it is. Yeah, that's what it was like. I sat there then and I plucked like six hairs out of this thing just to give it some room to breathe.
Yeah, dude. Well, that's what I told him because he was like, I don't know if what's coming out of it, but I feel like it's not anything useful. And I'm like, no, but you're... You're relieving pressure.
Useful?
And I need...
Like, what were you planning to do with it?
It was just like clear. But I'm like, no, but that needs to come out. Sorry, everybody. There's probably so many people that are thrown off.
Fast forward.
Sorry. Okay, we're done
now. This is brought to you by Curology.
But honestly, I need... Do they have backwash? I need to look into that. Yeah,
they do. They have body wash. I have it.
Oh, nice. What else was I going to tell you? I just had something that I was going to say. And now, oh, yeah. Okay. Speaking of listener stories, we're thinking about doing next week, getting back into the holiday spirit and doing maybe a ho stories episode. And if you want to make them, I mean, you could just send us your ho stories. Yeah. We'll take them. But if you want to throw a holiday spin on it,
a little festive fellatio.
Oh,
if you got it.
Yeah. You know, a little Christmas party fuck fest. Or whatever.
A little Christmas coming, whatever.
We'll take it. We will take
a little
those.
Horny Hanukkah.
Oh, nice. That was good. So yeah, you can send those to lntstories@gmail.com. Somebody I saw online was asking and they were like, I thought it was Hey Ladies. You can send them to both.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying I look primarily at the LNT Stories one. So if you might have a greater chance of it getting seen if you send it to that one. But, you know, do whatever you want. I guess I'm not your mom.
Whatever,
dude. Yeah. So yeah, lntstories@gmail.com. That's what we're going to do. Today, though, we're going to also, I mean, it is kind of holiday-ish.
You think? I mean, I found, okay, whenever.
Explain it.
If you listen to last week's, if you listen to Krampus, which I can't even like say anymore without laughing.
Dude, the amount of Krampus shit that we were tagged in.
I know.
Unhinged. I saw one where he straight up tackled a woman. And then I was reading the comments and someone was like, my arm got broken at Krampus Loft one year or whatever. I'm like, what the fuck?
The one that I put at the end of our TikTok where the guy puts on the baseball hat, he was my favorite. I tried to like pick like not scary ones, but there was like creepy moments where I was like, who the fuck goes to this? But anyway.
There was one that they were like... running after these people until they got to their hotel, like scary running after them. It's
no,
like
no,
a haunted
no.
house, but just through the streets.
Just in the world.
I would be so scared. Anyways, go on.
Anyway, so Sierra was like, do you want to do Krampus closer to Christmas? And we'll do this new topic that we decided to do now. And I said, no, wait, because I feel that what we're going to discuss is pertinent two holidays.
Totally.
Because you are going to be around family.
Potentially and people that you maybe don't have a great relationship with,
yes.
I guess.
And
a healthy relationship
I think that
with.
different than gaslighting and different. If you guys don't know, I mean, it's in the title. What are you doing here?
Yeah. What are you new?
Yeah. We're talking about Hoovering. Herbert Hoover.
The Hoover vacuum.
Hoover dam. Hoover maneuver. You guys know the Hoover maneuver?
They use a grapefruit.
No, that's a callback. Oh, no. That's a callback to the judgy episode that we did. I'm having such a hard time talking about this because...
Well, here's what I want to say off the bat so mm-hmm. that we can talk about this. Yep. Is that number one, this needs to be said because it's in every article that I wrote, which every article, there's nothing like really peer reviewed, like because Hoovering is not an actual psychological term?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not an actual term in psychology is what I'm trying to say. It's kind of like something that's been used to like describe certain things, but it's not like there's not a lot of like psychology science backing it yet because it's so new.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like people are utilizing that term almost to differentiate.
Just us reading these and discussing our own experiences
or thoughts
about it with it. That's it. This is not, I mean, I hope that you get some kind of something from it, but I just want to say off the bat, this is not like an educational one where I put a ton of time and effort into it because you can't. Like everything I read was like, there is nothing that backs this scientifically, really.
Well, and I also want to say that the reason that I think that this is going to differ from some of the other topics that we've talked about, like love bombing, gaslighting, this kind of encompasses that.
Oh,
but
it does.
I feel like the difference is Hoovering may happen with people that you have a harder time creating distance from.
Oh, especially. Yeah.
So I feel like that's why we wanted to talk about it with the holidays, because family... close family, friends, co-workers, people who like you can't really cut out of your life
and
easily.
Honestly, if we're talking about relationships, I have had a lot of toxic relationships where my exes would reach out around the holidays and they knew that it was a hard, sad time of year for me and they used that.
Yeah.
So it can encompass a lot of different ways and a lot of different people. So
I also want to say that we're going to use terms. We are not diagnosing anybody.
No.
We are not overusing. No. Like, I know that narcissist is probably going to be brought up, but just don't.
Yeah,
label
please.
People in your life certain things just because they may have certain tendencies
and also
that
this,
you observe.
This says that it is used most amongst people with certain disorders. That doesn't mean that everyone with those disorders uses this as a technique. And that also doesn't mean that this
if someone uses this, they have a disorder.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So please keep that in mind as an overall umbrella that you aren't out here trying to couch diagnose people in your life
This is a tool for you for your own validation, for your own strength. It is not a tool to wield against someone else.
And that's on weaponized therapy speak.
Yes.
Which we also have
an episode on.
Yeah, so if you want to go and listen to that one, you can. Okay, here we go. So, like I said, these were like articles that were written and then medically reviewed by psychologists. So this one's from Psych Central. It says, Hoovering, what is it? Okay.
Yep.
So Hoovering is a type of emotional abuse in which a person engages in manipulative behaviors to, quote, suck or hoover, yes, like the vacuum brand, someone back into a toxic or abusive relationship with them. It typically involves behaviors like gaslighting, gift giving, love bombing, or other actions that will manipulate the person into coming back. It's worth noting that Hoovering isn't a clinically recognized or formally defined term, and there's little research on it. It's more of a catch-all term that refers to various behaviors that are often associated with cluster B personality disorders, such as borderline personality disorder, histrionic personality disorder, antisocial personality disorder, and narcissistic personality disorder. Again, doesn't mean that you have to, but there are certain things that like the trauma from
what that causes those to develop those disorders
may cause you to, like, people who are codependent tend to hoover a lot. And mm-hmm. that's something that just is because they don't want to feel alone or abandoned.
Because people are trying to, every fucking behavior that someone does is done to get a need met.
Yes.
Now, we may not agree with how someone is going about getting that need met. We may not understand. We may be able to figure out a healthier way and be like, why didn't this person do that? Because we don't know everyone's history all the time. Mm-hmm. We don't know why someone may develop behavioral patterns. But oftentimes, if it is... If it has gotten to a point of developing a personality disorder, or they are using manipulative techniques, mm-hmm. it's because maybe they weren't taught how to do it an appropriate way mm-hmm. or a positive way, or those ways never worked. And so they had to go about finding out how I can get my need met without endangering myself.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Now, all that said, you don't have to. You can understand somebody and why they might use these techniques, and also not have to
have them used on you.
Yeah, you can distance yourself from this person, from these techniques, because they are not doing you any good. And
right.
that's okay as well. Both things can exist at the same time. And
yep.
you're not a bad person if you have to set up a personal boundary or distance from somebody because they're using these tactics to get you back in their life and then hurting you.
And I think that's something that I often will almost beat myself up about, is because people who use some hoovering tactics, which may not even appear to be tactics, or they may not know that it's
a tactic.
I think
a lot of times they don't know what they're doing. They're just, again, you, like you
said, I think I'm getting this need met.
A need was met. This has worked for me in the past.
Yes.
So I'm going to do it.
And I then mm-hmm. always beat myself up being like, I'm being too hard on this person. Mm-hmm. What they're doing is kind. What they're doing is thoughtful. Like, am I reading too much into this because I refuse to see them in a different way? But
right.
I feel like if I have to jump through that many hoops, if I have to have that level of a cognitive dissonance
right
to let that person back in, then it's probably hoovering.
Totally. And also, it's okay, and this is why we're doing this, it's okay if you find yourself being like, oh shit, I've done this.
Because yes.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my god,
yeah.
I have done this to people. I feel like a piece of shit. Don't do that to yourself. You don't have to feel
yep.
like a piece of shit. I'm not calling you a bad person or any kind of any like toxic or whatever.
Yep.
You're allowed to see yourself in this and be like, oh man, I maybe don't want to do that to people anymore because now I'm realizing it could do more harm than good.
Right.
I'm going to change the way that I go about connecting with people.
Maintaining relationships.
Growth.
Yep.
So it's okay. Don't beat yourself up if you find yourself doing these things. So we will talk about some signs of hoovering and probably go more in depth. I know I can with like examples because
yeah.
sure I have some. So number one is attempting to reconnect with you. If a person with manipulative behaviors isn't getting the attention they want from you, they may reach out to try and reconnect with you and pull you back in. If they can reconnect with you, there's a chance that they'll try to love bomb you to lure you in further. Number one, when I left my ex probably at least, what, 7 times, I would
say?
Oh,
yeah.
At least. And he would do things like come into my work, send flowers to my work, tip the waitresses who were friends with me $100, tip me $100,
mm-hmm.
Send me gifts. You know, I
yep.
couldn't change my phone number all the time, but he would contact me relentlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And you would contact my friends and family.
And when it would be a contact, it wouldn't be like anything crazy. It would just be like, just thinking about you.
Yeah, I just wanted you to know you're on my mind.
Seems harmless.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But it was over time, it wears you down to where you're like, you know what? It would be easier if I would just... And honestly, you start to like the attention back.
Or
you
question
somebody who
yourself.
Is, yeah.
Because you're like, am I overreacting?
This guy's such a nice guy. And look at all of my friends and family are like, Sierra, he's being so nice though. Like, look mm-hmm. at how he treats your friends and the people who you work with.
Yep.
And I think you should just give him another shot. And that's all it's all a tactic mm-hmm. to get back into your life, which leads to number two, which is disrespecting your boundaries. I remember multiple times telling him, do not come to my work. Don't come to my and he would just show up.
Yep.
And then I'm stuck there. That was such a horrifying like experience because it's like, I can't leave.
Mm-hmm. And you know that.
And you know that. And now you're going to sit here until my shift ends so that you can catch me going out to my car and talk to me for an hour. And then I'm just going to be like, fine, let's talk because I'm exhausted. I just worked an 8-hour shift or whatever.
And I'd rather you not follow me back to my house, so I'll just talk to you here.
Which didn't work. He always came back then to the house. It never worked. It was always just like, let me get my foot in the door just a crack and I'm in. Okay. So when you-vering, when using hoovering
not
tactics.
Not me-vering.
No, you-vering.
No, nu-vering. This is brought to you
by my birth control. I don't have a nu-vering. I have an IUD.
Is that different? Is that not an IUD?
No, nuvaring I think is when you just put up there and it's like a cap almost on your
a cap
cervix. Yeah, it's like a little bottle pop.
Baby bottle pop.
It is a baby bottle pop. Keeps some babies from going in your puzzle.
Ew. There probably was a better way to say that. There definitely was a better way to say it. Don't you argue with me.
I meant sperm.
Well, you
cut
didn't
that.
Say
cut
that.
Cut that. Jerry, we can go ahead and cut that.
I like that bit.
Cut that.
Yeah. Sometimes I have to ask myself, like, is she serious or is she
really
doing a bit?
I don't know. Am I? What do you guys think? Okay, hold on.
Wait. Time out.
Oh, yeah.
Let's check and see if we have any sponsors.
I am obsessed with clothes.
Oh, yeah.
It's a problem for me. It's a problem for my closet. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that's why I'm so excited to be sharing Newly with our audience. Because Newly is a way to try out trendy styles, colors, silhouettes, all different kinds of things that maybe you've been interested in but are like gonna make your bank cry.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can rent them for a period of time and then you just ship them back.
For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any 6 styles each month, access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands with inclusive sizing.
That's another beautiful thing because a lot of places may not have options for everyone, and this has so much diversity, not only in the brands that they offer, but also they have fast free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Newly's state-of-the-art laundering facility.
Plus the option to buy what you love.
It's fun, it's sustainable, and you can save because you get to try out a bunch of stuff that you like, or maybe you're like, I don't know, maybe I would like this. And then you get it and you're like, I don't think that's for me, but there's no commitment to buy it unless you really do love it. And you're like, you actually can't have this back, Newly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm keeping it.
Newly is a great value at $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off of your first month of Newly when you sign up with the code TANGENTS20.
Just go to NUULY.com. That's Newly with 2 U's, and enter the code TANGENTS20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month.
That's NUULY.com, Newly with 2 U's with code TANGENTS20.
Newly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Okay, so basically the thing with people who use hoovering or are manipulative or are abusive in any ways is they're going to test the fuck out of your boundaries because once you let them know that you're okay, I give in, you know what I mean, because it's easier, then they know they can do it more and more and more, and it's almost like,
how far can I push this?
And in their mind, they really do believe sometimes that like the rules don't apply to them. So yeah, I know that you said I couldn't come here, but I brought you flowers. Mm-hmm. So you didn't think I couldn't come with flowers.
Right.
So I'm being a good guy. I don't know why you have to be such a bitch about it. Okay. And that leads into the next one, which is guilt tripping or emotional blackmail. So if you're the one who walked away, they may play the victim and emotionally blackmail you until you feel guilty and ashamed. And in some cases, they may go as far as to threaten or intimidate you into coming back to them, which you might do because you're afraid.
Well, and
I relate heavy to that.
And this is where I also want to bring in that, like, this may not be a romantic partner because everything you're describing, I have seen people describe their relationship with a parent.
Yeah, totally.
In this
or
way.
Sibling.
Where it's like, And it gets really, really complicated, especially if you yourself are a parent, because now you have to navigate and balance, okay, my parent is my child's grandparent, mm-hmm. and I feel some type of way about them, and I want to have certain boundaries with them. However, I feel guilty because mm-hmm. now I'm taking away an opportunity for my child to have their grandparent.
Yeah.
And really, they've not done anything
to, like, them.
To them that makes me feel like they aren't a safe person for them. It yeah. just makes me uncomfortable. And so, like, I think it can get really, really easy to push boundaries mm-hmm. when there are other
people involved.
Yes.
Totally.
Or, like, in a larger family system where siblings are like, oh, my gosh, are you really going to not invite this person? Are you really
Christmas.
Not going to?
Yes. Just invite them to your house. You don't even have to talk to them again, but that's a foot in the door. And yes. then it's, yeah.
Yes.
And it's such a slippery slope.
It's just you burying your own feelings yeah. and allowing someone to just tell you what you should and shouldn't be comfortable with. Mm-hmm. And the more someone does that, the more someone just eats away at that boundary, the more you lose your own sense of reality.
Yeah, you start to question if, like, am I the piece? Am I the bad person here? Am mm-hmm. I the? That's where
am
the
I
guilt.
Dramatic?
And, yeah, maybe I'm the one who's being the bad person.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, we've talked about with weaponized therapy speak, that can happen.
Yes.
So it's not unrealistic that would happen to you. Mm-hmm. But I think that's where you really have to, like, be able to back yourself in your decisions and know yourself. But when there are other people, mm-hmm. other family members involved, yeah, it gets extremely tricky. And I want to say this again, you said parents, but I want to reinforce that in relationships, if you have children with somebody,
yes.
that can be very, very difficult yes. to be able to get out, because they're using your kids together mm-hmm. as a way to hoover you back in.
Yep.
And I'm sorry for people. I feel horrible when I hear situations like that, because it's so sad for everybody involved that they are using the children in that way.
Well, yeah, because you almost feel like, what's the thing where they cover your mouth? I didn't want to say gagged.
Shushed?
No, like
silenced?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, maybe that's it. It's like you almost feel silenced in that way, because it's like, I feel like I have to balance two different people's experiences and emotions.
Yes.
Like, I have to make sure that this person, who maybe you would label your abuser, or it's just maybe the toxic or estranged relationship you have, I have to manage this person and mm-hmm. make sure that they don't do what they normally do that has made this relationship estranged
to me
or in front of
yes
my kids. And so now I have to maintain my feelings so that my kids don't think anything's weird mm-hmm. and my kids don't have to either experience this person being mean to them or being mean to me mm. and like that is so that's what I mean by it can make you feel silenced. It's almost yeah. like become numb.
Yes.
Feel nothing. Be a robot.
Yes.
And then everything will be fine.
Yeah.
But like it sucks. That
how realistic
then
is that?
Have to live life that way because yeah. If you are to a point where that is your normal mm. with interacting with certain people, how much of your life are you losing doing that?
Exactly.
I would venture to say a lot.
Yeah.
And that ugh, sucks.
It's heartbreaking. And all of these kind of lead into each other. So the next one, after you feel like that weight and that sadness and that guilt, of course, then they're going to start telling you they're going to change.
Mm-hmm.
They'll make you so many promises. The amount of times my ex told me he was going to therapy mm. and I'm going to therapy, I'm making myself better. And he always would go maybe for like a session or two. And then
yep.
I don't really click with the therapist. I'm going to get a new one, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it was never ending. And then they would, you know, he had all of these every time it got more and more extravagant mm-hmm. as to how I'm going to change and what steps I'm going
what
to
promises
take.
I'm going to.
And he would, at one point, he stopped drinking for like 8 months.
Oh,
really,
I remember.
Truly did.
And I
thought, oh my God, this is it. He did it. And then, you know.
I remember you saying to me, you were like, Jerry, he's not drinking anymore. And like, that was the source.
It makes such a huge difference.
It does.
Until
it doesn't.
Until it doesn't. And it was
until
like.
Until he starts finding other ways mm-hmm. to control you.
Right. Which he did. And then, of course, you. He also did just start. Well, I'll have a beer or two. I'll have a glass of wine with dinner mm-hmm. or I'll have a beer or two with a friend. And then it was like immediately slipped right back into it.
And then it makes you feel like, well, what? I'm going to be a piece of shit and be the reason that he doesn't ever have alcohol again.
Yeah.
Like he can't have fun anymore because I and it's
not that you have to have alcohol to have fun, but that's just yes, your mind can do, especially because we were both so young and we both worked for a bar. Mm-hmm. Like that was a big part of our lives, unfortunately.
Well, that's what I mean. In your circumstance specifically,
yeah. I could hear it as other people would hear it. I didn't want them to. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, they'll probably tell you their regrets and remorse and they, you know, are going to bank on that guilt that you're feeling. But once they've sucked you back in, you'll see that their behaviors will go back to what they used to be. And that's a cycle. And
right.
like I said, it would be sometimes the cycle, we would be in the good phase for months, mm-hmm. almost a year, but it would always go back. That cycle right. would always start over. And it was like the seventh time in that cycle where I was like, this isn't going to get better.
Whenever cycles like that happen in certain relationships in my life, if there are longer stretches yeah. between the cycle, I start really questioning myself like, okay, well, look how long they went this time. This yeah. feels like progress because
they are getting better.
It
maybe.
Has been significantly longer than
oh,
as
yeah, that's why I
previously.
Went back even after what happened after that eight month stretch when it exploded mm-hmm. was when my nose was broken and like the really violent stuff happened.
Right.
And I still went back after that because I thought, well, that was just he slipped up and he drank the one night mm-hmm. and he drank a lot and his body
and now
couldn't
he knows
handle
better.
That. He knows. Mm-hmm. He'll go back to not drinking. Did that happen? No.
Well, I think here's what I will say about this is I oftentimes gaslight myself almost in comparison because I'm like, my nose was never broken by this person. I never experienced like real violence from this person and it was never alcohol induced or it was like, and so I almost am like, am I exaggerating by feeling like this stuff is problematic and that I don't want to be a part of it?
No.
And so,
because I'll tell you right now, and this is my experience, so I'm not saying this on a broad level, but the emotional stuff was hit me worse. It hurt me way worse. So I think even though the physical stuff is easier to prove to people, look how evil and bad this was. It was like, if you only knew what the emotional
and I think that's why it's difficult is because the physical almost seems black and white.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, of course physical, that's bad.
Yes. Not hitting someone, good. Yeah. Hitting someone, bad. Yeah. Okay, we all agree on that. But it's when it's like,
yeah.
So it
you have to try to like almost plead your case.
Yes, yes. That's what it always feels like when I talk to my therapist or I talk and confide in a friend and I'm trying to navigate these relationships. I'm like, well, they went to a store and they saw something that made them think of me and they bought it. And so like, that's nice. Right. And someone who doesn't know or have the experience with this person that I do might be like,
yeah.
What's your issue with that? They thought of you, they spent money on you. That's what else do you want? And it's like, yeah, but
did they do it to get something from me?
Yes.
To get access to me?
Yes. And that's the part where it's like, I don't know how to define that because you can't ask them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's your fucking motive behind this?
What the fuck are you doing with this?
You know what I mean?
What are you doing, nice guy? You're just being a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really difficult. And I will say that this part of it, when I say like the emotional stuff, I think hurt me worse. It had a longer lasting effect on me because I question myself to this day because of some of the ways that my mind would work in those cycles. So that's why I feel still like that was worse. Oh, number five, my favorite, involving your friends or family. This one was really He wrote letters to my parents apologizing and big reached out to Noah's dad and you at one point, I think. And so many of my friends apologizing.
I think actually I was the only person he
you
didn't.
Might, yeah, he might not have. I know he did with a couple of my other friends. But it's so if they can't get through to you, they're going to try to use your friends and family to attempt to connect with you instead. And this is something that's called, it is actually known as triangulation. So I'm going to click on that real fast and just give you. So basically,
I actually talked about this in therapy.
Okay. Triangulation is another way a person might feel like they can maintain the upper hand with you in like a toxic situation. In some, triangulation is getting a third person involved in your communication channels.
Yes.
So in other words, it's when you send a message through a third party or justify an action with this third person told me this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so basically with that, you can kind of feel like ganged up on. And like,
I have a perfect example of this.
Okay. Do you want to?
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I was like, is this one you want to tell or not?
I mean, I'm going to tell it in a way that I feel comfortable. Okay. But so there was somebody who I was incredibly close with, and I saw behavioral patterns that I was like, I cannot tolerate this in my life. This something has to change. And I'm not doing this anymore. Mm-hmm. And this person has been in my life for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And so me not doing what I previously would have done, which is people pleaser, fawning, right, just going along with whatever, appeasing. They didn't know how to handle me in right. that situation. And so they went to a third party who has been in my life for a very long time.
Yeah.
And almost confided in them. Like, I don't understand why this person is, why Jerry's doing this.
Yes.
I don't understand why she's acting this way. It's so different than before. And now I feel unloved in this relationship. I feel uncared for. I feel unimportant. I feel unvalued. And it, so this third party then was like, well, why are you acting differently? Mm-hmm. If you were just doing what you were doing before, then this person wouldn't feel this way. And I'm like, are you aware that the whole reason, like what this person is doing is bad?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm not going to deal with it anymore.
And I don't have to.
And so regardless of how you feel about the situation, I don't have to bend my boundaries and my comfortability for them.
Yeah.
And also, you never even asked about how I felt about it.
Yeah.
You never even asked for my side of it. You don't need to be involved, period.
Yeah.
But you really, if you are going to get involved, should hear everything.
Definitely.
And come from a place of neutrality.
Yeah. Oh, so. I remember at one point, even when I was with Corey, he was doing it to people. He was using people who he knew were friends with me and like spinning this whole story so that they would reach out to me. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Yep.
And then at one point I'm like, where is this coming from? I didn't even know you knew him.
Yeah.
And then it was like, just bizarre to me that even after so long, it was like, still, I will try anything. I remember being like, he is never going to stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was so hard. It's why I didn't say anything on the podcast for so long, because I was like, I cannot give him a reason to reach out.
Yep.
I don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, we know that we're discussing a pretty heavy topic right now, but we are going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Yeah. Okay. my therapist taught me what triangulation was.
Yeah.
She was basically saying what you said, where it's involving someone else in a conversation that should only be had between the other two people.
Well, and again, it is just another way to throw off your confidence and to throw off your like
reality.
Yes, on yourself. It's you're going to question yourself if you have more than one person telling you you're wrong, this isn't right, he's fine. Or they're fine, or it's, I don't think it's as bad as you think it is, because I talked to them and they had really nice things to say. And
yeah,
it was
I think
all
maybe
good,
you're just misunderstanding the situation. And it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. And I'll tell you, it's fucking effective.
It is.
It is
works.
Fucking effective.
It works.
I oftentimes will find myself struggling to even talk to people about situations because I don't want to do that.
Totally. I don't want to even put in my input because I could be causing more harm than good. It's why I have put my foot down and put some boundaries up about things we discuss on the podcast. Because yep. I'm like, if I'm coming at this from a place of ignorance, or I don't have all the information, or I don't know enough about certain things, am I going to do more harm than good here?
Mm-hmm. Well, my thing
is, I don't want that to be the case.
I don't want anyone to feel like I'm like creating an army.
And totally.
This comes from my high school boyfriend, who was like King Hoover of Hooverville. Really, okay. Yeah.
He really was.
He,
both of them together.
Whenever I was in college, I think I've talked about this before, but he brought up this like giant fucking TV. It mm-hmm. was like a 60-inch yes. TV.
Oh, and boy, did I have that.
Uh-huh. He put it in the lounge mm-hmm. of my dorm, okay? So, like, anybody could go in there and use it. He left his Xbox in there. Mm-hmm. And so my friends were able to go in anytime. He was supplying them with weed. I didn't even know he had weed or smoked weed. Like, I didn't know that.
The fact that they hid that shit from us, but then we're like, we'd go to our friends and then be like,
yes.
My friends would come to me and be like, you know, he's dealing drugs, right? And I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah. They narked him out
yeah.
so fucking fast.
Yeah. How did they think that we weren't going to fucking find that out? Like,
I don't know.
Anyways,
I
mean, that's sorry. The least,
but
this is just me going into, I'm just having a lot of feelings this episode.
And he would buy them pizza. Mm-hmm. And so, the one night that he had me like trapped in my room and wouldn't let me out of my dorm room to the point where like my neighbor ended up calling campus police to show up. Mm. He kept saying, you're not going to make them hate me mm-hmm. like you made everyone else hate me. And I'm like, what are you talking about? What do you mean? And so I realized that all of the things he was doing, leaving the TV, leaving mm-hmm. the Xbox, buying the pizza, bringing the weed,
doing
all of that.
On purpose so that they're on my side.
I'm doing these things to show these people, look how good of a guy I am. Mm-hmm. Jerry made everyone hate me back where we're from. Everyone thinks I'm a piece of shit. But how could I be a piece of shit? Look what I've done.
Yes.
And so that, it wasn't until that group of friends looked at me and was like, oh no, Jerry, we know he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
You don't have to convince us. We could see it from a mile away. We were still going to eat his pizza. We're going to take advantage of him.
100%.
But we don't think you should be with him.
No.
You can do so much better.
And that's okay, because the next step is going to be he's going to start taking that stuff away and then stand there and be like, huh? Because that's what I would do.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You want a 70-inch screen TV? Well, not anymore. Now you don't get it.
Go ahead and explain that to your friends.
Yeah.
Why they can't.
Now you don't get to have a TV mm-hmm. in your house anymore. Because it was always like my roommates or people that yep. would come over. And then, you know, I'm like, oh, sorry, guys. I don't have a couch this week or yeah. whatever. Whatever thing it was. So, Jesus. Okay. Number six, acting like nothing happened. Mm-hmm. Instead of wanting to talk about what happened, they may try to convince you that anything you think happened was your fault anyways. So.
That I feel like could go for family, because the amount of times that people that I see on TikTok or wherever speak about their families being like, that didn't happen. That never happened.
Oh,
I don't
yeah.
remember it happening.
Especially
that way.
When you're younger. But they can also use, so they can use the ability, like you were young when it happened. Mm-hmm. You probably. That didn't happen the way you think it did, like mm-hmm. your memory, blah, blah, blah. For me, it was always when we were drinking together. So he would use the fact that I was intoxicated and be like, Sierra, you don't even know what you were saying that night.
You don't
like,
know what
you
were doing.
You were so drunk. And I was like, I had two beers. I don't feel like I was that drunk. No, trust me. Everyone at the bar said you were acting so sloppy. And now you're accusing me of this. And like, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble. And that wasn't even what I did. Mm-hmm. I might have lightly tapped you. I didn't shove you.
Yeah.
And like, you know, shit like that.
Yep.
It made me feel like, okay, well, maybe you're right. I'm very easy to convince. Honestly, it's kind of bad. I'm getting a lot better now.
Yeah.
But like, I was very easy to convince back then, because it was like, it's your word against mine. And yep. I don't even trust myself. I don't mm-hmm. know what's going on up here.
Yep.
Not good. So
and
you're probably right.
I also feel like these people who are going to do that know what your insecurities are.
Oh,
and will utilize those, because
they're great at figuring that shit out.
I know that for me, one of my biggest insecurities. And like, I'm realizing even now saying it, that like the fact that I'm willing to say what my biggest insecurity is to 100,000 people, whatever, that I always like not laugh, but I'm like, you think we're vulnerable? Like, you think this is vulnerability? This is. I don't know many people who would just tell the world
what their biggest insecurity is so that people could potentially use it against
you. And people have.
And they do.
People have. Mm-hmm. But it is feeling like I'm a bad person or being misunderstood, and like that who I am and the way that I present myself is not actually who I am. And so it's almost like being found out
and told, actually, you think you're this and you're putting on a show, but I know who you really are.
That. And so
we have got messages like that. It's fucking really awful.
But it happens in my personal life. Mm-hmm. There are I could list off four people right now who have known me since I was a baby, who believe to their core that I'm a liar, that I tell stories and that I'm dramatic and I do things intentionally to hurt people. Mm-hmm. And like, I would work so hard to convince you that that's not who I am. I would go out of my way to contact you, to reach you, to be
let
like,
you know,
let me show that's you that that's I not am. True. Let me convince you of who I actually am. They don't want to be convinced of who I actually am because that doesn't benefit them.
No, and it's not the story that they have in their head already, which is going to be very difficult to change if you can at all.
And they don't want it.
No, they don't.
Yeah. Does that have anything to do with what we're talking about? Yeah. Part of me, as we're going through this, I'm like, are we just dumping? Are we just taking a big old fat steamy dump
on
you guys?
I'm so sorry if we're just trauma dumping all over you. But this feels good.
It does feel
good. For some reason, I'm feeling like cathartic. Is that the
right word?
I don't
know if this is the one with mushrooms in it or what.
I was going to say, I'm just drinking water. These are pure adrenaline endorphins where I'm like, yeah, girl.
Yeah,
talk about your trauma.
I have that, but I also have... whatever this is. This is Curious Elixir number one. It's a pomegranate Negroni.
Negroni. Spagliato. Okay, so number seven, this is the last one, and then we'll do a couple examples and then how to cope with it. So, and the examples we can go through very quickly because I think we hit most of them anyways. But number seven is threatening to harm themselves or you, which is, I feel the last... like, if they're like, shit, none of these other things are working, that was terrible grammar, Jesus. then their last step is, I mean, the amount that...
What's funny is you say that feels like the last step. In situations that I'm referencing, that was almost the first thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
And it's going to be circumstantial.
Yeah, it totally is. I just mean, like, cyclically. I feel like the love bombing and stuff all comes... early, and then it turns into I'm grasping for straws here, I'm gonna hurt myself, and
like a last resort if nothing else is working,
or like threatening you, which is what happened like at the final, because then it's like I'm taking the mask off, shit, I have to pretend I'm not the good guy anymore.
Yep.
So that is 100% of the time was effective for me. Not 100, because he tried it again at the very end and it didn't work, because at that point you just say, okay, I'm going to call somebody then and send them to do a wellness check. I that can't be my responsibility.
Right.
But
and
for so long, that was my biggest fear, was that somebody would hurt themselves because of me. And that like that would be something that I would have to live with, that their family would know, that their friends would know was my fault. And he knew that. And so every time it was like, okay, fine, then I'm going to do this thing and it'll be on you.
Right.
And yeah, God.
It wasn't
until
I was in therapy and I remember Barbara was working with, you guys remember Barbara? I was working with Barbara on boundaries and she was like, well, in this relationship, maybe a healthy boundary would be, I'm trying to see if I could say it without it revealing.
Giving it away.
Yeah. Maybe a boundary could be asking them to call before they come over.
Sure.
Just, hey, instead of just showing up at my house, could you call before you come over? Text to see.
Right.
And I said, I absolutely cannot do that. And she's like, why? And I'm like, because that's not going to go over well. I can't set boundaries because this person is going to feel like I don't love them if I don't give them access to me, everything 24/7. To me all the time.
Yeah.
And if I don't, and they don't feel loved, then they will want to disappear or hurt themselves.
Yes.
And I can't be responsible for that. Mm-hmm. And I remember that was when she said, she's like, but you're not responsible for that. Mm-hmm. If this person is going to do that, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about that. Their choices are their choices and yours are yours. And you should not make yours dependent on theirs.
Yes.
Damn. And I was like, I still don't think I can do that,
Barbara. Very hard. It's very easy to say, very hard to actually carry out, because the last time it happened to me, I was like, well, this is it. If it happens, it happens, and I'm going to be the worst. I was sick about it. I fucking cried. Now, this was after I had already been with Corey.
Yep.
And I remember Corey being like, why are you crying? And I was like, I'm just like sick that this could happen. But I also know it can't be my responsibility and I'm not going to do anything to,
right.
Cause I know where it's going.
I know what he wants me to do.
Yeah. But that was the hardest thing that I think I've ever done, because I was so like, I'm going to hurt this person. It felt like I was doing it.
Yes.
And I don't like hurting anybody. So it was devastating to me. But it never happened. And so
oftentimes that is, it's not 100%. Obviously everything is such a individualized situation, and we never want to encourage anyone to like blow something off that could be an absolute emergency.
I definitely called and had a wellness check done, but it wasn't going to be me.
Right.
Reaching out. So I'm going to give just like a couple examples so that, because like I said, we probably have hit these, but just in case you need like more specific ones. So
also, I'm going to chime in right here and ask what do you think right now? Like, I'm truly curious at this point. I'm like, I get so distracted mentally during these episodes because my brain is almost like, uh-oh.
I know.
What are you doing?
I know.
That, like, I have a very hard time remembering what we said or even being fully present while we're talking. So this is me truly asking, like, are you guys getting something from this? Are we making sense? Especially because I know when speaking about stuff that we can't be fully 100% open. Honest about, and not honest, but just, like, open.
Yeah.
Just give very precise detail.
Well, again, because as much as these people hurt me, I will not, it is not in my character to willingly hurt somebody.
Yes.
And so I will not ever give full details, names, anything.
And also, I think it's highly, highly irresponsible for us to do something like that, because we would never want to
weaponize our audience.
100%. I would never, ever, because these people who we are speaking about, they don't have an audience. They don't have this level of support that we do, and they don't have an opportunity to speak for themselves. And so,
and again, as much as they've done to us, I don't want to see them hurting. Genuinely, that is not something that I want to see ever.
And you and I both know that they are hurting and they have been hurt. And like, we know a lot of the backstory for people. And yes, sometimes that can cause you to question your own responses to them and whether or not it's appropriate or you make excuses for them. But I won't do to someone what they've done to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
And use you guys to do that. That just feels wrong.
Agreed. But. So don't do that. Don't try to figure it out. You don't need to.
Yeah.
All of this can hit the same if you don't know specifically who it's about or what the full details are.
Yeah, I'm hoping that with the vagueness, you would be able to just like
put
insert
yourself in your
Yeah.
So some more examples would be like they contact you out of the blue by sending you a text or calling you just like, oh, just randomly checking on you, right? Okay. They continue to reach out even after you've asked them to stop reaching out. They shower you with compliments and gifts to get your attention. They make jokes or put you down when you communicate boundaries. Mm-hmm. Remember how many jokes in like at my expense he would make about me in front of people who were my friends? Mm-hmm. That was so bizarre. Yep. I'm like, what? What are you trying to do here? Like
doing something like that is almost like trying to Red Rover people over to their side.
Yeah, come on. Like, it's fun over here. We're having a good time and this guy's being a wet blanket. And I'm like, you're genuinely hurting my feelings.
Or you're making me uncomfortable.
And I'm expressing that. And you're now trying to turn these people into your like cronies.
Right.
So bizarre. They promise you that this time is different because they've definitely changed. Right. Mm-hmm. They temporarily change their behaviors to prove they're not lying. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't last. They convince your family and friends to send messages to you on their behalf. They plan future conversations and hangouts without your consent. And they threaten to hurt you, themselves, or others and blame you. So how do we cope with this? Obviously, there's not enough scientifically backed information on how to properly cope.
Right.
But these are just maybe a couple tips to help you, you know, move along, I guess. Number one, it can be challenging to recognize when someone is using these manipulative behaviors against you, especially if it's a family member or a partner or an ex-partner. But I think number one, recognizing it is probably the most important.
And I think calling back to what I said earlier is like, if you are having to ask yourself a bunch of questions, it's probably a good indication that there's like, you have some unhealthy attachments with this person.
Totally. So the next step then would be to set your boundaries and stick to them. For example, if you've asked them to no longer contact you, this means not responding to them when they attempt to reach out at all. Especially if that's the boundary you put into place and they, you know.
I know that I hoovered the fuck out of someone.
Oh, I'd probably. Yeah.
Especially like.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
I know for a fact that I bulldozed someone's boundary.
That's what I'm saying. I don't want this to sound preachy because I am. I almost said a victim, but I'm not. I'm guilty of doing some of these. And it's just because I was hurting and I was like, I need you right now, though.
Yes.
I feel like you misunderstand me and I need to make you understand me, which is like not their job.
And like, the person who I'm referencing that I hoovered had said to me, I'll always be there for you. Mm. I'm in your corner. I'm here if you need me. Like my home is your home. Like this person opened themselves up, I thought, to be a support person.
Right.
And then when I needed support, they were like, I actually can't.
Yeah.
And I can't because of my own boundary. I don't feel comfortable anymore. Now that things have changed and I have more information, I just, for myself, I can't do this anymore, which is totally valid.
Totally valid.
Totally within their right to be like, I felt this way at one point in time and now I no longer feel that way. But for me, who was like, okay, if I ever need support, I know I have this. To need support and then go for it and then it not be there and it be like, taken away in a way that I didn't fully understand. Mm-hmm. It was like I was grasping at straws.
Yes,
it was like
you
I could, was.
Because on the other end of that, you start to feel helpless. You're like, oh, no. Oh, wait. Oh, wait. Oh, yes. wait.
Mm-hmm. This was my life raft.
Yes.
I became that guy in Titanic who was like just taking a kid from someone who was like, women and children first. This is my kid.
This is
like,
my child.
What? No. Yeah, that's it. And I feel guilty to this day that I didn't respect someone's boundary, especially knowing now how adamantly I feel about respecting boundaries.
But I think it's not important, but it's nice kind of to be able to see that other side of it and know like it is possible to grow from that.
Oh, yeah.
Because then when people don't, I feel like, okay, this is not a me thing. This is a you thing. Because if I could make these mistakes, but then learn they were wrong and grow from that, I would think that you as a capable adult should be able to do that as well. And I'm telling you it's wrong and I'm telling you it's hurting me and you're not caring about that. Mm-hmm. So
I view
I
that.
Hope I said that all correctly. I feel like I misjumbled some words.
Listen,
there, I'm so sorry.
I'm barely coherent at this moment.
I'm so worried that I'm going to fuck up and say a word incorrectly.
Opposite when of I what mean, you mean.
And then somebody be like, she said this and. Uh-huh. Now all people, she described them as this way. And I'm like, that is not what I meant to say at all. I meant to use a different word. But I also think that dachshund is dachshund. And I'm sorry.
So give me a break. I'll say that like in that moment when I recognized that I was, I'll say it, acting unhinged as fuck. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That it was, it highlighted an area that needed healing.
Yes.
And so it helped me be able to target that whenever I started going to therapy. It was like, okay, I can reference this moment and say like, all right, this was something that was problematic and also probably a cycle.
Yeah. So yes.
How do we heal this so that I don't do continue this to someone else? Yeah.
Yeah. And you don't, and you can stop it hopefully from happening to
you. Yeah. So that I don't get to a point of feeling like I'm needed falling off a cliff and
totally.
Yes. You know, brother, help me.
Brother.
Brother.
Take the higher ground in response. Okay, Scar.
Yeah.
People who use hoovering behaviors may resort to being mean and nasty. I would say they probably will, whether it's in front of your face or not is going to be one thing, but they probably are not saying good things about you. Mm-hmm. And you have to just know that that's going to come with it because they're hurting in some way.
Well, that's part of triangulation.
Exactly.
Is trying to maintain higher ground.
I'm the one that's in that's being wronged right now.
Yes.
And the way that you do that, obviously, is by kind of making that other person the bad guy.
Yep.
Which, again, is why whenever I say certain things, I try in a really hard way, even though something very traumatic and abusive happened to me, to like, I don't ever want it to be like he was a lost cause, because in my mind, I just genuinely hope, even though I don't know, but I hope that he doesn't do this to anybody else and that it is something.
Well, I think we already know that's not true, but
I know, but I just always wish the best for people and kind of hope that they would want the same for themselves. And so. But anyways, I don't know where the fuck that came from. That was just something I felt like I needed to say in that moment.
I was thinking too about I almost want to put myself in the spot of the Hoover.
Yeah.
Because we've taken the position of the opposite so much that I almost just want to be like, if you are someone who can reflect and be like, fuck, I be vacuuming.
Yeah.
I be sucking people back in. That I feel like it's easier to try to process those things and change them about yourself if you hear somebody that you respect or like. I don't know, I'm assuming that you respect and like me. saying that they've done it too and that they can grow from it. It makes it feel more approachable for yourself, maybe.
Yeah, and less shamey, which is what we've talked about. Yes, you don't want to have that shame around it, because when you do, sometimes it's like, okay, well, I'm just bad and that's all that I am and
don't
can be.
Don't shame, reframe.
Yes.
And so I feel like this person who I hoovered and I feel guilty about and I bulldozed boundaries, I very easily could have gone to our mutual friends.
Oh, yeah.
And been like, this person.
I was there when you told some of the mutual friends and you were really honest. You were so honest about how you were not the great person in that story. And I was like, damn, girl, get it. Get after it.
Because that's the fucking truth.
It was the truth. And I was like, good for her.
And if you are not able, if you are going to, I wouldn't. I don't know if triangulation is always a bad thing, but if you are going to involve other people in the story, if you're not going to be fucking honest about it, then like, don't.
Yeah.
Because you have a power.
Totally.
Your words have power.
They do.
And so if you're going to wield them in a conversation with someone and you can change how they view someone, let it be not someone else.
Well, that's why I think that where I was going with what I was saying about him was kind of like with this. I know that in certain stories he's told about me, I'm the bad guy. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
Which is shocking that anyone would believe it. But I know shocking. That they, I know they do. Some people. And I'm like, that's fine. Whatever version of me needs to live in your head for you to just like leave me alone, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I don't, for me, I don't see any use in like completely villainizing somebody because what is that doing for me?
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
So it says what you can do when they are mean and nasty and probably talking shit about you. The best thing you can do is just not engage or respond. Yep. Take the high road if you can. Because honestly,
if you don't know how to do that, go to our gray rocking episode.
Yeah. No kidding. Honestly. And then the last one, obviously, is reach out for professional or legal help if you can. Mm-hmm. Therapy can offer you a safe space to process some of the feelings you may be having. And also, again, it's nice to have a third party that is not involved, that mm-hmm. is not being triangled, to hear their opinion and know that maybe you're not doing the wrong thing can kind of hush some of those voices in your head that are telling you that you're the mean person and the mm-hmm. bad person here.
Oh, because I tried to justify my actions. Oh, I tried to justify the fuck out of my actions.
Oh, yeah.
And my therapist at the time was like, so what could you have done differently, though? Because you could have done some stuff differently. And yes. I was like, I don't like that you're saying that because it sounds like maybe you're not on my side.
Yeah, like, no, but it's good. I just told Corey that because we've talked about this a lot and we saw it at our bachelorette weekend. Corey is the type of friend. He is not going to gas you up if you think that you're doing something wrong. He will straight call you out.
Yep.
On your problematic behaviors in front of people sometimes. But like, he's the friend that I want to have or that his friend should want to have because mm-hmm. you know he cares. He's like, hey, I know you're a better person than that. What the fuck are you doing right now? Yep. That's gross. Don't do that.
Yep.
Don't go hit on and be gross with that person. Mm-hmm. Don't go cheat on your whatever. Like, yep. I've never seen his friends do that, but I know if somebody...
You're just using examples.
I am. But if someone around him were to like start cheating or whatever... This was something that my ex did. He would just like his friends would be out. His one friend was married and would just have his girlfriend around. And I was like, I'm going to tell his wife.
I'm going to tell. And he's like,
don't you fucking dare. That's none of our business. We're not getting involved. Blah, blah, blah.
But you did involve me. You involved me the second you brought her here.
Yes. So now I feel like I can't whatever. But then I thought, well, if you're doing that for him. He's obviously doing that for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's why
you want me to be quiet.
Because he's covering your tracks. And she probably knows. Yeah. And now we're both. Anyways. And then also, obviously, if you can take legal steps to protect yourself, if you're in danger, if you can get a protection order, especially if there's ways, keep everything. If this person is honestly coming after you, screen record, screenshot. Do what you can to get evidence on your side that you are being basically harassed because hopefully, I think at least around here, I've seen some courts taking that more seriously.
Oh, 100%.
Which I think is important.
I know that
back when in my situation, it wasn't taken as seriously, but I also didn't have as much proof, evidence.
Like physical proof?
Yeah, because he would make me delete it all because obviously it didn't make him look like a good person.
Or it happened in person, and so you didn't have it.
Exactly.
I know that there was someone close to me who did have all of this proof, and before they went to the courts, they kept saying, I feel like I'm being dramatic. Mm. I feel like they're going to look at me and like throw me out of the court because this is like nothing. I feel like I'm overreacting. Mm. And... when the judge looked at them and said, this is not a unique person. Mm. This is a textbook abuser. Mm. I'm absolutely granting you a protection order. Yep. Like, without a second thought, when somebody of that kind of authority mm-hmm. and that amount of experience with, you know, abuse is able to validate you, it gives you... a little bit of your reality back.
Yes.
And so if you are able to, and I think this person actually didn't initially have a lawyer. So yeah. they kind of just like went through the court system themselves.
There are ways you can.
Yes. And it I also know that there are pro bono lawyers. And so
and, I was going to say there are there's so obviously if you or someone you know is experiencing this on like a really controlling domestic violence level, please call the domestic violence hotline. And that number is 800-799-7233. And there are also, you can visit the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, and there's a list of resources there. Potentially lawyers, some pro bono might be on that list. I haven't looked, but it's good to reach out if you think that you're, you know, in danger or a loved one is, because those resources can make a huge difference when it comes to protection orders, restraining orders, things like that.
Yep.
And that's really all I have. So I hope that was something good. If it wasn't, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We gave you so much information, but I just,
I know. I hope
think it was important.
I agree. I think that, again, it's just validating, because sometimes you don't feel like people who are problematic in your life, or maybe you haven't even labeled them as toxic, but you just have like a yuck feeling around them. It's nice to have a word for it.
Yeah, like, totally.
I feel like I don't like being around this person, but they keep doing this stuff to suck me back in. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Hoovering is a thing that people are
experiencing.
Using as a term.
Yes.
And maybe it's not outwardly concerning to other people, but trust your freaking gut, dude.
Trust like, your gut.
If
trust
you feel
your
it,
gut.
If you feel it, there's something to it. So
that's 100% right.
Sometimes your body reacts more than your mind. And there's that book, The Body Keeps the Score. Mm-hmm. And I know that personally from my own experience with EMDR that my body has held a lot of stuff that my mind doesn't recall. But it always tells me when I'm near certain people, So anyway, we hope that you were able to get something from this, feel validated from it, or maybe expose an area of growth for yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
And know that it's okay.
Yes.
Because
we're all just taking steps forward, hopefully, even if they're baby steps.
Growing sideways.
Yeah.
Noah Kahan.
Yeah.
Go listen to that song and cry.
It's a good fucking song.
I had a dream.
I had
a dream about Noah Kahan.
Okay.
And someone basically revealed to me that he was my soulmate.
Oh.
And so I.
Honestly, I get that.
I had to tell him. And I told him via DM.
Sure.
And I was like, hey, this is going to be super weird, but I am your soulmate. And I know that this is probably sudden and unexpected and odd because I'm married and I have children, but this is what it is.
You should know.
And I also like, Noah Kahan, if you ever see this, does the name Elliot mean anything to you?
Oh,
because in the dream, I was like talking to him. And I only say that because I've had dreams where they do mean something. And there is a level of importance. So I'm just picturing him duetting this and being like, and then telling us that was his dog's name or something. But I had Elliot tattooed on my finger.
What?
Yeah. And I was like, I think this has something to do with you. And I'm not 100% sure what that is. But since you are my soulmate, I thought maybe you would have some information.
And then
after that, I kept getting these responses. And I'm like, oh my God, Noah Kahan, my soulmate, is responding to me. Found out that he gave his Instagram account was not run by him. And then people were like making fun of me.
Oh no! The worst.
Horrifying. Horrifying nightmare.
That's really bad. That's
anyway.
Oh no.
I know. Anyway, guys, thanks for hanging out.
Yeah.
We love you so much. We hope that this was helpful. And if not, sorry.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week.
All right.
We're out.
Goodbye.